Hello and welcome to my podcast. It's your 10-minute consultation to retrain your brain for success. I'm Chartered Psychologist Dr. Audrey Tang, and in each session, I'm going to look at a different interpersonal problem, give you the psychological explanations for why it occurs, the common reactions, and suggest some behavioral solutions you can try. I'm never seeking to change your practice. You've got here just fine without me, but simply broaden your options. The more choices we have in a situation, the more effective we're likely to be. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about optimization. In other words, it's not about if you do it well, but rather if you're putting time into it, how far can it take you? I'd like to start by thinking about what you do. I mean, I do a lot. I write, I teach, coach, present, and so on. And in my spare time, I like producing shows and performing. But do you look at every new commitment as something extra, which, as much as you like doing it, it causes you extra hassle? Or do you see it as an opportunity? I'm going to suggest that you take a Borg approach. Assimilate the skills that you're using rather than adding them. So often I see people who want to do a hobby or take up a hobby that they stopped doing, but they simply don't have time. I work with them. Certainly in producing community theatre, I manage tantrums from my actors who've had a bad day and feel like just chucking the whole thing in, frankly. And this is despite that theatre being a skill for which they're recognised and praised and really enjoy when it happens. I also hold the anxiety of clients who maybe know they need to learn a new skill and know they will benefit immeasurably with the new opportunities and the confidence that will come with achieving that skill. But for some reason, whatever that reason is, that they don't want to do it, they've convinced themselves that they'll be just fine where they are right now and they don't really need anything else. Why do we do that? We actually enjoy whatever it is when it happens. But as we're doing it, we just see it as a chore. We see it as something extra we have to do. I'd like to challenge you to reframe that thinking. So rather than having everything that you do and all your skills compartmentalized, because that way you feel like you're just dragging a number of heavy suitcases, even if when you open those suitcases, you quite like what's inside, I'd like you to see everything as a lot more linked. Of course, there are benefits of compartmentalizing, but I believe that there are more if we allow those talents, those skills, everything we do in our life to blend. For me, optimization of everything we do is that new transferable skill. And I know people don't really like the phrase transferable skills. They see them as employability. They see them as things that you should be learning at university. It's got a bit of a bad rep. So if you need to, think about it as optimization, but simply it's the same thing. It's skills that you have developed in one area, even if they were hard work, even if they were tough to learn, which you can use in any area of your life. And those skills are not necessarily the hard ones that you put in your CV. They're ones which actually keep you in the job because they show you that you can be diplomatic, patient, organised, all those things which maybe you're not always tested on in an interview. So when it comes to optimization, I would like to think about you learning something in every single thing you do. As an example of this, I recently, over the lockdown period, got in touch with a number of cast members through a lockdown reunion I held for a show that we did 13 years ago. And I asked them for their life lessons, and the video is absolutely lovely, where they really show how far they've come and all the things that they've learned. But what was also even nicer was that many of them emailed me personally with things like, "I wouldn't be where I am now if I didn't get the discipline off you when I needed it back then. You gave me a chance." And this is from someone who now runs a pub in Epsom, taking over 6 million in revenue. "You helped me gain confidence and gave me a focus to be successful." And this is from someone who's now an award-winning sales manager, delivering coaching, presentations, and mentoring others. And for my own part in doing this, I messaged one of my colleagues who was an unofficial mentor to me to thank him for helping shape the person I've now become, because his advice, always offered on point and exactly at the right moment, helped me smooth out a lot of rough edges that could have caused me bigger problems, even though my heart was always in the right place at the time. Reflecting on all of that, I realised we didn't just learn or teach subjects at school. We were setting down life skills, but only because we looked at them in that way. As I've said in interviews since that point, at school, although I taught drama, some people learned confidence, some learned teamwork, some learned discipline, health and safety. Others simply learned drama. Everything you do is an opportunity to build your skills. For example, are you afraid of conflict in your personal life? Or how would your professional approach to a disagreement help you? You low on self-esteem? Well, how do your best clients see you and why? How do those skills help you? Are you struggling with self-discipline? Well, what if it was a work presentation? What will get you through then? I currently support some of my clients by asking them to think about the professional skills that can enhance their personal ones, and vice versa. Well, difficult client? Well, how might you interpret and respond to the behaviour if that person was your son or daughter? Now, I'm not saying it'll work every time, but if you remain open to everything that you're doing, minus the context, all of your behaviours are part of who you are and how you are capable of taking action. And this also works for your skills. So this week, number one, rather than seeing a hobby as something extra that you need to do, remind yourself of the fun that you get out of the end product, but also think about how the effort you're going to put in can benefit you in other areas. Number two, reflect on your tasks, not just in the context of the task, but in the wider sense. For example, if you're baking with your children, how might the way you instruct or the insights of your children or the creativity you express through it benefit your next work piece? Not only that, how does sharing what you've done, at least at a safe social distance, strengthen that relationship with friends or neighbours or communities? And number three, if you're going to do it anyway, then enjoy it well, because that works wonders for your own personal well-being. It's not a case of not respecting transferable skills. I sometimes think we don't recognise them. This week, start looking. And that comes to the end of our session. For longer practical exercises for personal and professional effectiveness, do subscribe to my weekly webinar show, Energy Top Up, presented alongside award-winning parent and family coach Sharon Lawton, which is on my YouTube channel, The Wellness League.